Starting the top of Samachem and Aleph with the Gufa, as we discussed yesterday, we had this mentioned in the Limudim. We mentioned the Rav's Limud, because the Gemara wanted to know what we did with the word Chayim and Gneva. Because in the end, when we had the Super Riboy, or we had the Klalim that were established by Im Himatzei Timatzei, then we no longer needed the other parts of the Pasuk when it came to Perchabet Pasuk Gimel. And then we had a limud from Shor Seh Chamor. And then we need to know what we did with the word Chayim. So Gemara says, I'll tell you what we do with the word Chayim. We use it for the limud of Rav. So now, what's the limud of Rav? So that's what we have here, Gufa. Amar Rav. Keren Ke'en Sheganav. When you pay the Keren, when you pay the core amount that you owe back, you pay it based on the moment the theft was carried out. The other hand, Tashlumi Kefil, Vitashlumi Arba V'Chamisha, when it comes to the Knas of paying double or four or five times, then you only pay Kshat Hamada B'Din. You only pay at the moment that it's brought to Din, at the time that he is being judged. So my time at the Rav. What's the reason behind Rav? Tamar Kra Gneva V'Chaim. Amai Kamar Rachmana Chaim B'Gneva. What does the Torah have anything to do? What is the word Chaim doing in the context of Gneva? Comes to teach you, achya lekeren ke'en sheganav. Right, either strengthen, make alive, compensate the keren ke'en sheganav in the way that you stole it, or at the moment that you stole it. Tosfos later on brings different interpretation with the achya. Achya can either mean yipikoach, or meaning strengthened, the keren, or the other possibility of achya means tashlum, pay, or compensate the Karen. So now the Gemara wants to know, Amar Rav Sheshet. Sheshet says, Amino ki naim v'shochi Rav, Amar l'hai shmaita do. Rav must have been falling asleep when he said this. The Tanya, he has a brisa, we have an explicit brisa, k'chusha v'shmina. He stole a weak or a thinning animal, and then he fattened it up. Meshalim tashlumei kefil, v'tashlumei arba chamisha ki'en sheganav. He pays the knas of double or four or five times, like the moment that he stole it, which is against Rav. Rav said that only the Karen gets paid, Ke'en Sheganav, but Tashlumi Kefel and Tashlumi Arba Chamisha get paid Keshat HaMada B'Din, like now, not like the moment when he stole it. Where it says, Imre Mishum Damarle, because the Ganav can say, Ana Patimna V'Ad Shakalt, I made the effort to fatten up the animal, and now you're going to collect on my exertion, my expenditures, my fattening up of the animal. That doesn't seem logical. So the Gemara says, Tashma, we have the other way around. Shmeina ve'chisha. On the other hand, if it was fat, and then it got weakened by the ganav, Meshalim tashlumei kefil, tashlumei arba v'chamisha, ke'en sheganav. Then he pays kefil and tashlumei arba v'chamisha like at the time of the theft. So again, now how do you explain this? Hatanami yishum darminin lei mali katla kula, mali katla paga. What does it matter if you kill part of it, or what do you kill a full amount of it? So now, what the Gemara is suggesting at this point is we have two braitot. We have two braitot that suggest the opposite of what Rav's position is. Rav's position is that Tashlumi Kefil, Tashlumi Arba V'Chamisha are paid Kidahashto, currently, what the animal's worth currently. We have two braitot that seem to indicate that you pay Ke'en Sheganav. So Gemara's answer in the first case is, wait, there's a difference between Biyadayim and Memela. The difference between whether the Ganav did something to change the animal's value in by himself, meaning that he intervened to change the value of the animal, versus if the animal's worth changes memeva, meaning that it happens by itself. The Gemara says, okay, that's great when it comes to expanding or increasing the value of the animal. But what are you going to say when the ganav decreases the value of the animal? By his efforts, what he's done is decreased the value of the animal. So why does he all of a sudden, ke'en sheganav? He should also pay, according to Rav, he should pay Kidahashto. So Gemara says, no, because we can say the same thing over here. What happens when the ganav is toveach umachar, when the ganav stops the animal by killing it, for instance, the animal comes into his possession. Right? When it comes into his possession, then he's going to be chayav in that moment going forward. So if the, again, in our case over here, when he weakens the animal, at that moment, it's as if it's, according to Rashi, the beginning of the tficha. It's as if he's begun the shechting of the animal. since that's the point at which he began the shechting of the animal, that'll be the point at which he, in a sense, intervened with the animal, b'yadayim, and that's why we will consider it ke'en sheganav, that he only paid tashlumi arba v'chamisha from that moment. Because from that moment forward, they already, according to Rashi, the tficha, the shechting began. Tosfos has a little harder time with that, with Rashi's interpretation, that it's the beginning of the shechita. And he gives two alternative explanations of what is malikat l'kula, malikat l'palgo. He says, and one of the reasons the Ri disagrees with Rashi, has a problem with Rashi, is because weakening an animal has nothing to do with shechting the animal. The two are independent of each other, right? One is a ritual slaughter, and one is the weakening of the animal. Maybe it's the beginning of a death process. Maybe it's the beginning of hurting the animal, but that's not what shechita is about. Shechita is about killing the animal in order to make it kasher, in order to be able to eat it. It has nothing to do with weakening the animal or taking away its life through weakening the animal. So he suggests like this. One possibility is that in all of these cases, we see that we don't go butar the damin da hashta. We don't go after the monetary compensation that's right now. So for instance, he says, malikat l'kula, deino chima batar damin da hashta. What's the difference when I kill it? We don't say pay like now, meaning that pay like now where it's worthless. But when the time kiganab, the kanab is shinoi, because how was he kone? He was kone with shinoi. He changed the animal status at that point. By shechting the animal, there was a shinoi, a change in the animal, and the ganab was kone. So once he's kone, we say pay for it from the moment of that shinoi. So we say huadim, but katla palgos. The same thing when he weakens it. It should be the same thing, right? Because at the point that he starts to weaken it, or it starts to kill it partially, why don't we just also say that that's a shinoi, that he's creating some sort of change in the animal, and therefore he's koned the animal, and we make him pay from that moment going forward. That's one interpretation of the Ri. The other interpretation of the Ri is that what's the difference between katla kula, mali katla katalga, is depends on how you view shechita. Because there's different ways that we say that shechita is, how does shechita work? It's a machlokas gemara in chulin, that when you shecht an animal, is it shechita mitchlad sof? Shechita begins from the moment you begin shechita all the way to the end of shechita. Or do we say, ain't shechita la basof? Maybe shechita only happens at the last moment. When you finally finish the shechita off, that's when the shechita takes place. So if you say, according to the one who says that ain't shechita la basof, the one who says that there's only shechita only takes place at the last moment, that means that when do you become chayiv for the dalet v'chamisha? When do you come chayiv for the 4 and 5? When you shech the animal. When you shech the animal, that's only at the last moment, right, of the process of shechita. That means that a second before you complete the shechita, the animal is probably worthless because it's going to die even if you don't complete the shechita. Yet, the shechita only happens at that moment. And we don't say to you, oh, guess what? Pay for the animal at that moment before you complete the shechita. Right? We say, no, pay for it when it was worth something, when it really had value. So say it to over here. Mali palga katla kula, mali katla palga. Also over here. We don't talk about the moment at which it was shechted, but we're talking about the time that it was chashuv, that it was still an entity, that it was still a real animal. So why does it matter if I'm shechting the animal to kill it, or if I'm weakening the animal? It should go back to the original state, or the original classification of the animal. So now, the Gemara, again, brought these two breitot down. These two breitot seem to disagree with Rav. Sure. And Rashi just explains that the weakening of the animal is like the beginning of the process of shechita. I mean, shechita is going to kill the animal, and so the weakening of the animal is the beginning of the killing process, or the beginning of the shechita process. Again, the Ri says that the two have nothing to do with each other. I mean, killing an animal and giving a shechting an animal are independent, meaning why is weakening the animal have anything to do with shechita? Therefore, at that moment, the ganav is kone the animal, and he'll have to pay from the moment before he started that process of weakening the animal. Right. But we're assuming that the value of the animal has not changed, meaning that the only reason the animal's value has changed is either because he's fattened it up or he's weakened the animal. Otherwise, the animal's value is static. That's the assumption of the Gemara so far, that the animal's value is static. The only reason the value of the animal changes is because the ganav intervenes, either by fattening it up or by weakening it. So until that point, it would be irrelevant. At the point that the ganav intervenes, we say then he's kone it, or either he added value to it that he shouldn't have to pay kefil on, or he's changed the animal's status, and at that point he's kone it, so he has to pay from that moment the static value of the animal, the moment before he changed or weakened the animal. Oh, so then when did Rav make his statement? When did Rav make his statement? Ki kamar Rav, biyokra bezula hodohu kamar. So if we say now that when the ganav intervenes, whether to weaken it or to fatten it up, then that basically cuts off the value, or we stop the consideration of value at that point in time. Then when did Rav say that Tashlumi Arba B'Chamisha and Tashlumi Kepos Ke'en Hamada B'Din or B'Shat Hamada B'Din? He said that. That has to do with market fluctuations in the animal. Right? Until this point, we basically assume that an animal's value is static unless there's intervention. But that's not necessarily true. There are other variables which have nothing to do with the ganav, which are the market value of the animal. The market value of the animal could change, right, between the time that it was stolen and the time that he has to repay the animal, independent of anything that the ganav does. And that's what Rav was addressing. Rav's addressing that change in value that's market-based, nothing to do with the intervention. And that's what the Gemara says. Hey, chidami. What's the case here? What's this case of market value change? So he says, Ilema demi kara shavya zuza. The time he stole it was worth a zuz. So shavya dalid zuze. In the end, it's worth now four when he comes to pay it back. So Karen ke'ench ganav. Right, he pays the Karen like the time that he stole it, meaning that he pays the Karen like a zuz, and he'll pay the kefil and the arba of a chamisha b'shat ha'madadin, which means times four. So whereas lema pliga d'rav ad'rabo, that means that Rav is arguing on Rav's position, the Amar Rabo. Hai man d'gozel chavita d'chamra b'chavre. Someone who steals a barrel of wine from his friend. Mikara shav yezuzah. Originally, when he stole it, was worth a zuz. B'sov shav yedal zuzah. And now it's worth four zuz. Tavro shatya, if he breaks it, the ganav breaks it or drinks it, mishalim dalit, then he pays four. Idvar mimela, if the barrel breaks by itself, mishalim zuza, then he pays one zuz. So now, what's the issue here, or the way at least Rabba explains the process of ganav? The ganav comes and takes the item. He is not kone the item at that point in time. The item, wherever it is, still belongs to the original owners. Why does it still belong to the original owners? Because there's an obligation on the ganav to return it to the original owners. So really, all the way along, it belongs to the original owners. So now, what happens when the ganav comes and either drinks it or he breaks the barrel? If he drinks it or breaks the barrel, he's now done something that makes it impossible for the item to return to the original owner. At that point, he becomes the quote-unquote, new owner of the item. He's koneh the gezer or the geneva at that moment in time. So what's that moment in time? What's the wine worth at that moment in time? It's worth four zuz. On the other hand, if the barrel breaks by itself, deteriorates, or somehow something happens to wine without the ganav being involved, then the wine never left the possession, in a sense, of the original owners. And all they have to do is return, the ganav just has to return the item that he took at that moment. That is the one zuz worth of wine that he took at the original moment. So based on that, that will go against Rav's position, because Rav's position is that the Karen pays Ke'en Sheganav, right, that you pay Karen, you pay like the original right time that Gneva, but Kefel and Arba V'Chamisha you pay Ke'en Kedahashta, like right now. Now, what is Tevichol Mechira, what is that like? Is that like something happening to the animal by itself? Or is that something like the ganav intervened? I mean, it was much more similar to the case where the ganav breaks the barrel or the ganav drinks the wine. That's the equivalent of tvicha mechira. According to Rabba, when you do that, you pay what? You pay kideh hashto, right? You pay like right now. Yet, Rav still believes what? Rav still believes in that case the Karen is paid ke'ein sheganav, like the original process of the original time that he pays Kain Shiganav. So that's what the Gemara says. That can't be. This can't be what Rav's addressing, because then he would be disagreeing or arguing with Rabbo. No, the Shchita, or like say when he breaks the barrel of wine, that doesn't change the value of the wine. All that does is says that at that moment he becomes the Ganav. He becomes the thief at that moment. And we look at the value of the wine at that moment. The value of the wine at that moment is the market price is increased, and then he's going to be Chayav for Zuz, because he stole at that moment. On the other hand, if the wine breaks and it falls apart by itself, then we say that the only action of stealing he did was the original theft, the original time that he took it, and he just has to replace the wine like the original time, which is the one shekel, even though the market price is increased. So the same thing over here by the animal. The animal, when he stole it, was worth a zuz. Now it's worth four zuz. That's a market differential. If he sheks the animal, when does he become the ganav for the animal? At the moment that he sheks it. If that's now, according to Rabba, that means that you should pay the Karen like right now. The Karen right now, or the value of the animal right now, is four zuz. Rav says, still go back to the original time and only pay one zuz. That's a problem, because that's a Rav will then not be able to agree with Rav. So Gemara says that can't be the case where Rav has explained it. Ela kika my Rav. When did Rav make a statement? Kagon to mikara shavya dalit. The original case it was worth 4, and actually now the market price deteriorated. Ubusov shavya zuz, and now it's only worth 1 zuz. Karen ke'en shaganav. He pays the Karen like the moment that he stole it, meaning at the higher price. The shlumi kevo, the shlumi arba chamisha kishat a. Amad Abadin, right? That the now, like the time that he is, Amad Abadin. So that's the Rav statement. We now narrow down to this one case, right? Of when the market value deteriorates. So if we go back now through the cases where we eliminated Rav, those are the cases. Number one, when there's Ganav makes intervenes to change the value of the animal. There we said for sure Rav's statement does not apply. Because the Ganav, when he intervenes to change the value of the animal, if he's increasing the value of the animal, certainly there we shouldn't make him pay more because he increased the value of the animal, right? That doesn't make any sense. On the other hand, right, if he decreases the value of the animal, right, we don't say, well, if he actively goes in and decreases the value of the animal, why should he get the quote-unquote benefit of decreasing the value of the animal and having to pay less later? We say, no, if he's weakening the animal, he's begun the process of what eventually leads him to have to compensate the Baal for the Dalet and Chamisha, and therefore he becomes chayav from the moment that he did that weakening, from the moment he started deteriorating the value of the animal. So that's those two are out of the picture of Rav's statement. The next case we said is what happens if the animal increases in value. If the animal increases in value, we already have what Rabba says. Rabba says when the animal increases in value, it has to do with how the ganav intervened, depending on how the ganav intervened. If the ganav intervened by actively breaking or making it impossible for him to return the item, then he becomes obligated to pay, right, of kihashto, like right now. Because at this moment, he made it impossible for him to return the wine. Had he done nothing and handed him back the barrel of wine, the change, the market change in price would have been irrelevant because he just handed him back the barrel of wine that he stole originally. But once he breaks the barrel, he changes the status of the barrel, that's now he's actually done something that makes it impossible for return. That becomes the moment at which we say he's obligated to pay. And that's 4 shekel, the increased value, the increased market value. That, on the other hand, again, if he, in melee it happens, the wine somehow spills out by itself, has nothing to do with the intervention of the ganav, then again, we say he's chayav from the moment he stole. When he stole a zuz, and that's, he's got to return the zuz that he stole. So that's not what Rav is addressing. Rav's addressing this one narrow case, which is the narrow case of, case where the market value deteriorates. So now when the market value deteriorates, when the ganav, right, comes in and says, you know, oh, he intervenes at that point in time, meaning there's Tavicha and Mechira at that point in time. We say he pays the Karen, Ke'en Sheganav. He pays the Karen like the moment that he stole it. Right? Again, that's to his detriment, because now you have to pay the higher price from the moment that he stole it. On the other hand, when it comes to Arba Chamisha and the Kefel, he only paid like today's market value. He'll pay what the value is today. The Knas will only be imposed from at today's value. All right, now, The Gemara is going to try to bring a proof to Rav. It says Tani Rabbi Chanina the Suyed Rav. We have a Rav Chia brings down a brace or a Tanaic statement that helps Rav. Balabayit Shita'an Ta'anat Ganav. We have a Balabayit who makes a claim. I mean, a Shomer here was making a claim that it was stolen from him by Pikadon, with something that was left with him to be watched. Vinishba, and he swore to that effect that a Ganav took it. Then afterwards, Vahodim. And then he admits that it wasn't really stolen from him, that he had pocketed it. Ubao Edim. And then Edim show up. Im ad shelo bao Edim Hoda. If he made the admission to having pocketed it himself before the Edim show up, then Mishalem Karen, Vichomesh, Ve'asham. Then he has to pay the Karen. He has to pay back the item that he stole, number one. He pays the Chomesh, which we're going to see in a second, is from the Parshan Vayikra Hey. He pays a fifth more, meaning, but really 25% more above that, back to the Balim. So he really pays 1.25 or 1.25 of the value back to the Balim. V'asham, and he has to bring a Korban Asham. V'im Mishibau Edim, if the Edim came first, and then Hodeh, and then he made the admission, then Mishalem Tashlume Kefel, he pays Kefel, V'asham. He pays kefel and he brings an asham. V'chomsho alolo b'kfeilo, and his chomesh is the same as the kefel. Divrei Rabbi Yaakov, and we're going to see this in the Gemara in a second. But Rashi points out here, this is a case where the chomesh and the kefel are equal. The 25% and the kefil, the doubling of the keren, are equal numbers, and therefore the chomesh and the kefil can be the same amount of money, and therefore he accomplishes both in one shot. He pays the kefil and the chomesh in one shot by paying that same amount of money. That's what Diri Rabbi Yaakov says. But chamim omrim, the chamim say, no. Verosho v'chamishito. Mamon hamishtalem verosh mosif chomesh. Only with when the only compensation you are making is the keren, the rosho, the rosh, that which is there, do you add on a chomesh. Mamon shemishtalem verosh. But if you are paying money that is not just the keren, for instance, a moment, time when you're paying kefel, then ain't mosif chomesh. You don't pay a chomesh. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai omer, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai says, ein chomesh v'asham mishtalem b'makom sheish kefel. Not only do you not pay a chomesh, but you don't bring an asham whenever there's kefel that's paid. Now the Gemara says, ketani mihat. Nevertheless, this is the proof for Rav, and then I'll go back and explain what the sugya is dealing with out here. Ketani mihat, chom she ololo b'kfelo, divi Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov has this amazing idea that you can have kefel, which means 100% of the keren, and chomesh, which means 25% of the keren, be equal. How could ever be that 25% of the principal and 100% of the principal are equal numbers? How is that possible? Hey chidami, idlema demi kara shavya dalid, obishasov shavya dalid. Right, if you say in the beginning it was worth 4 zuz, and in the end it was worth 4 zuz, the gneva, then chomsholo bikfelo. How do you have a case of chomsholo bikfelo? Kfela arba'a, v'chumsha zuza. Doubling of the keren, right, 100% of the principal would be 4. And a chomesh, 25% of the principal would be 1 zuz. How is 1 zuz equal to 4 zuz? That's impossible. El alav, what's the case? Demikara shavya arba, olusov shavya zuz. In the beginning it was worth 4, and now it's worth 1 zuz, meaning that the market value has deteriorated. The kfela zuza, v'chumsha zuza. That the kefil is worth 1 zuz, and the chomesh is a zuz. How could that be? That's because what Rav said. Rav says that when you pay the keren back, you pay back ke'en she ganav. When you pay kefel, you pay kede hashto, you pay b'shat ha'mada b'din. So now you have market value that's deteriorated. So the original keren is worth 4. So when it comes to paying a chomesh, when it comes to paying 1/5 of the 25% of the keren is 4. So I pay 25% of that, I pay 1 zuz. When it comes to paying kefel, I pay based on today's market value. Today's market value is 1 zuz. 100% of that is 1 zuz. So I can come up with a case where kefel, 100% of the keren, and chomesh, which is 25% of the keren, are actually equal, the same number. That's only according to Rav, who says that there's a difference between the keren, which is paid ke'en sheganav, and the kefel, which is paid kedahashra, kashat hamado badin. So this should be a good proof for Rav's position. Again, the case where we said that Rav applies, and the case where the market value deteriorates. So Gemara says, well, maybe not. Right? So because he says, Alma, we can conclude from this, Karen Kein Shaganav, Tashlumi Kevah, Tashlumi Abachash, Kashat Amad Abedin. That was what we conclude would be like Rav. So Amar Rava, the Olam, Dimi Kara Shavi Arba, Vashanami Shavi Arba. No. The case here is when they're equal 4 in the beginning, and it's worth 4 now. Vedak Hasha Kfela, Dalet, Vachumshe Zuza. Well, how do you then you have the Kefel and the Chomesh be equal? Because the Kefel is going to be 4. And the chomesh, the 25%, is going to be worth 1 zuz. Mar says, "Hachabai eskinon kigon deshe nishpa v'chazer v'nishpa arba pamim." He swore 4 times. He took a shvua 4 times that he did not, that it was stolen from him. V'hode v'hitvade, right? He was moda that he lied or that he pocketed it. V'tor amra v'chamishitav, right? When it says v'chamishitav, right, it means in the plural, HaTorah ribta chamishiyot harbeh bekeren achat. The Torah included multiple times that you became chomesh on a single principle. On a single amount that you have stolen, if you swear multiple times on that amount, you'll become a chomesh over and over again. So what happens in a case where he swears 4 times? He swears 4 times that it was stolen from him, and then he's found out and he admits to having lied and he really pocketed it. Now he's going to be high for each shvua that he took, he'll be high of 1 zuz. So now if you add up all the chomshim, right, if you add up all the chamishiyot, all the 25% that he has, if he has 4 of them, that's going to come out to be 4 zuz. His kefel, 100% of the keren, is also 4 zuz. So now you have a case where the kefel and the chomesh are equal. It's not one chomesh, it's when it's multiple chamishiyot that it derived from the single geneva, from the single karen that this individual has. So if that's the case, this isn't a proof to Rav, because now you can come up with a case where it doesn't. The original market value and the current market value are equal, and we can come up with a case where chomesh and kefil are equal. So from here, we can't see anything about whether it's kein shaganav or gashat hamad badin. This doesn't make any determination with regards to that, and isn't necessarily a proof to Rav. Right now, we're going to dissect this machlokas, this brisa that we just brought down. We're going to dissect. Before we do that, I'll just read you the psukim from Vayikra Hey. It's from Vayikra Hey, Pasuk Chaf. It says, the Ber Hashem al Moshe Limor, Nefesh ki techeta, u'ma'ala mal b'Hashem, b'kichesh b'amito. Right? He disagrees, meaning that he lies or he rejects a claim that he had a pikadon. O b'tsumet yad, o b'gozel, o ashaket amito. All these cases where he takes a shvu'ah with regards to a monetary matter. O matza aveda, or he found something that was lost, v'kicheshba, and again he lies and he says, and he somehow refutes or disagrees with the claim that he has this object. V'nishpa al shoker, and he takes a shvu'at sheker. Again, we're in Perek Hey in Vayikra Apostle Chabet that I'm reading right now. V'nishpa al sheker, alachat mikol ashe yase adam lachato behena. So when he sins and he's found out to be guilty, we'll have to return that which he stole, return the item that he took illegally, right, or anything that he took the shvat sheker on, I have to pay the amount, Berosho, Vichamishitav Yosef Alav. He'll add a fifth on top of that. Sherlo, Yitzneno Beyom Ashmato. The one who owns it, meaning the original owner of the object, he will give back the object itself, plus Chamishitav, plus 25% on top of that. Ve'et Ashamo Yavil Hashem. And on top of that, he will have to bring an additional Asham. Al Tamim Natom Berchal Hashem Elakwain. All right, so that's the requirement here. The case here. The case where he steals something, steals it by lying. Not because he seems to be that it came into his possession in a right proper manner, either because he found an avedah, because the pikadon was left with him, or that he was withholding wages from someone. So in all these cases, he has money that came to him in a manner of heter. And then he takes a shvuah to the effect that he didn't steal it, that it wasn't, he doesn't have it. He disagrees or refutes the claim against him by taking a shvuah. And then he admits to being mishaker. He admits to saying what he said is wrong. So when he admits to lying in this instance over here, he has to pay three things. He has to return the keren. He has to return that which he stole. He has to pay a chamishitav. He has to pay a fifth, 25%. Again, right, any fifth in the Gemara is milabar, means 25%. And he has to bring an asham l'ashem. Now we had a three-way machlokas in the Braisa about exactly what's happening. Now the Gemara is going to dissect that original psukim. Now we'll go into the Braisa and explain each of their positions. Now the Gemara says, Amar mar, v'chachamim omrim, birosho v'chamishitav. It says birosho, when you pay back the keren, when you pay back the fixed amount, then you add a chamishito. Then you pay the additional 25% on top of that. Mamona mishtalem birosh. If you're paying the Karen, only that which you took, then mosif chomesh. Then you add 25%. Mamon jain mishtalem birosh. But if you are not paying just the Karen, meaning in a case where you're paying kefel or more than the Karen, then ain mosif chomesh. Then the application of chomesh will not be there. Aval asham maiti. But nevertheless, you still bring the korban asham. Maishna chomesh de lo mishtalem. Why should he also not bring the asham? It also says, so if you read the psukim, when it comes to the psukim, it says, v'shilam oto birosho, he'll repay the keren, v'chamishitav yosef alav, and then he'll add 25% to it. The next pasuk begins, v'et ashamo yavil Hashem. So the vav is a vav achibur. Right, and so it seems to be that the condition, the same conditions that would apply to having to pay the 25%, should also apply to the asham. So only when you're paying keren should you pay for the 25%, and you should only bring the asham when you're paying keren. But as soon as kefel's entered into the picture, you shouldn't have to pay the chomesh, and you shouldn't have to pay the asham. So Ami Lecha Rabbana, no. The word et paskei kra. If you wanted to say what you were saying, it should say, the psukim should read like this. V'shilamo tov rosho, v'chamishitav yosef alav, then skip to the next pasuk, v'ashamo yavi l'Hashem, and he'll bring his Hashem to Hashem. But there's an additional preposition there. It says, v'et ashamo. So that word et comes to be mafsik, to stop the previous limud, and to say Hashem stands independent of the previous statement. And what it means, it stands independent of the previous statement, means that there's no conditions. Hashem will be bride in all instances, whether you're paying Karen or Kefel, you'll bring the Hashem. The only thing that's conditioned on paying Karen and not Kefel is the chamishit, the 25%. Of course, who disagrees with that? That's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who was the next Tano in that price. What does Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai say? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, ve'et arvei kra. So he says that ve'et comes to enjoin the two psukim. Rabbanan Amar Lecha, lo lichtov rachamana lo vav v'lo et. Meaning that, why do you need, according to the Chachamim, right, that if you wanted to say, like Rabbi Shimon is suggesting, that you want to include Hashem and have it connect back to the statement that applied to the Chamishito, then the Torah should have ignored the word ve'et at all. It should have left out the word ve and the et. It just should have gone Hashemo Yavi LaHashem, and we would have known to connect it to the previous pasuk. So why does the Torah go ve and et? Right? Meaning that, why do you need, if you say, Rabbi Shimon Chaim comes and says, oh, ve'et comes to include or to enjoin the two pasukim. Let the Torah say nothing, and it would have enjoined it. Why does the Torah come out of its way to say ve'et? Right, that seems to be a masik. That's what the Chachamim are suggesting over here. Rabbi Shimon Chai says they can't do that. Why? Rabbi Shimon Chai says, Amar lecha et lo sagyo. Had it just written the word et, it would not have been sufficient. The lo katav lasuke ben mamon gvoa, right, le mamon hetyot. Right, because the Torah wants to differentiate between that which is paid to the owner versus that which is paid to Hashem. When it comes to the chomesh, when it comes to the 25% that is added on the Karen, who does that get paid to? That gets paid to the person you stole from. On the other hand, who's the Hashem given to? The Hashem is given to Hashem. So the word et had to show up there to be mafsik. It had to separate between the two items, because the two items actually have, or are paid, or go in a different direction. One goes to the owner of the item you stole, and one goes to Hashem. So that's what the word et is there. So therefore, you couldn't have just, right, had done without the word et. You couldn't have done without it, because you need the word et to separate who gets the payment. Once I have the word et in there, I need the vav of chibor comes and teaches me to connect the two items, to enjoin the two together. At the vav and arvekra. The vav comes along and enjoins the two and says that the din of Hashem is the same din as the chomesh. So therefore, the machlokas between the chachamim and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is, they both agree that only when you have keren do you pay a chomesh. Only when you have just the Karen that you're paying, do you pay the 25% extra. If you're paying Kefel, they both agree, Chomesh is out of the picture, we don't deal with Chomesh at all. On the other hand, the machlokas between them is about Hashem. Is Hashem like Chomesh, or is Hashem an independent issue? Chachamim say that Hashem is an independent issue, it has nothing to do with the, right, the Rosho that is mentioned by Chamishito. Why? Because the word Et comes to draw a line between them. And that et of drawing the line between them tells us that they're separate, they have a separate din. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, no, the word et came to teach you not that to separate between them in terms of the din of whether it applies by Karen or Kefel, but rather it comes to separate between who gets paid. Right? By the Chomesh, it gets paid to the person you stole from. The Hashem gets paid to Hashem. And the word then for the word ve, the chvav is a chibor, and it joins them together. When it joins them together, it says that the Hashem has the same conditions as the Chomesh. That only when you're paying Karen do you pay Chomesh and do you pay Hashem. When you're paying Kefel, you're patur not only from the Chomesh, but you're also patur from the Hasham. Right now, the Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Ilo, ganav tle v'naseh ayil, egel v'naseh shor. He steals a goat and it becomes a ram. Right? He steals an egel, a calf, v'naseh shor, and it becomes a, right, an ox. Naseh shinui biado v'kano. The animal has changed in his hand, and the ganav has been koneit. He takes acquisition of it. Tavachu machar, shalohu toveach, shalohu mocher. At that point in time, if he sheks the animal or sells the animal, he will not be chayav dalad b'chamisha. Why? Because the ganav has ended. The ganav has ended because he now owns the animal. Once the ganav owns the animal, he's shechting his own animal, he's selling his own animal. That he has the right to do. And therefore, he will no longer be chayiv da'ad chamisha. When is he chayiv da'ad chamisha? When he shechs or sells the animal that belonged to the original owner. So, eight vei Rabbi Chanina, the Rabbi Yilo, Ganab tlev and ase ayil. Ego v'nase shor. Mashalem tashlume kefel v'tashlume arba v'chamisha k'ein sheganav. Right, so he pays kefel and arba v'chamisha like the time that he stole. V'isal kadat cho kanya b'shinoi amai mishalem. What does arba v'chamisha have to do over here? Why is there any payment of four and five times? If you, according to you, Rabbi Yilah, when it changes, the animal grows up and changes its name or its status, right? That already takes it out of the possession of the original owner and puts it in the possession of the ganav, like we saw before. When he does something, be yadayim, he takes acquisition. Over here, too, shinoi hashem, the change of the animal's name or what it is or what it's classified as will also be a kinyan for the ganav. But here we have a braisa that's suggesting what? That even after there's a shinoi hashem, you still pay four and five times. How could that be, according to you, Rabbi Yilah? Shalou toveach, shalou mocher, according to you. Zamalei, velamai. So what are you going to suggest? Shinui loikani. You're going to suggest that when the name changes, there's no kinyan over here? Amai mishalem kein sheganav. Why is he paying back by when the original time that he stole it? L'shalem ki hashta. He should pay like it's worth right now. Meaning that if there was never a shinui, where there's never any acquisition or kinyan by the ganav, that means that it was always in possession of the original owner. So then when it was shechted, he shechted. At that moment is when he made the kinyan on the animal. If that's the moment he made the kinyan on the animal, he should pay like now, not like the original kein sheganav. Amalei ki hashta hayna taima delo mishalim. What's the reason that he doesn't pay like now? Bishamalei, because he can say to him, Torei ganve minach, dichga gavne minach. He said to him, listen, buddy, I didn't. Did I steal a shore from you? Did I steal a ram from you? No. What I stole from you was a goat, or I stole a calf from you. I'm going to repay you what I stole from you. Why should I have to repay you something much greater or much bigger? That's not what I stole from you. I shouldn't be on the hook for that. Amarlei Rachmana Nitzlan Mehai Daito says, God save us from that idea or that concept. Amarlei Adarabo says, no, I'll say it about you. Rachmana Nitzlan Mehai Daito. God save us from your opinion. Right? I don't like. You know, we didn't. They had a strong disagreement about what the position should be over here, right? Whether you can make such a claim. Does the ganav have the ability to make a statement that basically, I didn't, when you have this shinui hashem, when the animal changes status, do I have the ability to make a claim that I stole from you something else, and I'm going to pay you what I stole from you? Right? I didn't steal this big animal from you, I stole a little guy, and I'll repay you for the little guy that I stole from you. Or do we say, no, listen, you know, yes, you stole the little guy, but the little guy would have become a big guy. And that's why, you know, you have to pay me for the big guy that my little guy would have become. Now the Gemara says, Matif Kla Rabbi Zera, V'nikninu b'shinoi hashem. So he says, well, let's. What's the problem here? Why are you suggesting, or why does the second Brisa, which says that there is no kinyan over here, why doesn't it agree that there's a shinoi hashem over here? And there should be a kinyan because the animal's status has changed, right? One of the types of shinoi, or one of the things that creates a kinyan, is not only shinoi reshut, but also shinoi ha-shem. When the animal, when the status or the name or the definition or the inherent, I don't know how you did it, the definition of this animal is different, that shinoi ha-shem, right, should be enough to create a kinyan over here. So Amarav says, no, you know why? Because shor ben yomo kari shoy, and ayo ben yomo kari ayo. A shor that is one day old, right? An ox that's one day old is called an ox. Even though when it's born, it has a name for it being when it's a younger animal. And a ram too, even though when it's born, it's not a ram, but it still is called a ram at that point in time. How do we know this? Shor ben yomo kare shor. How do I know this shor? A one day old shor is called a shor. Dichtiv shor ochesiv o'ez ki yivaleid. Right? That's the pasuk of Ayukah says, when it is born. A shor, chesiv, and ez, when they are born. Ayo ben yomo kare ayo. How do I know that a one-day-old ayo is called an ayo? When Yaakov is telling Lavan what type of job he did for him when he was a shepherd, he said, listen, buddy, I didn't eat one of your rams, not a single one of your rams. Now, if you say that a ram is only when the animal comes older, then what are the implications of Yaakov's statement? Elim hu delo achal, kvasim achal. Oh, I didn't eat rams. I didn't eat fully grown animals, but I did have a couple of, I had a couple of sheep on the side. I had a couple of lambs on the side. So that's out. So Gemara says, no. Elav shmamina, ayo ben yomo kori ayo. Must be that an ayo is even from the moment it's born, and therefore what he's saying to him is, I never took any of your animals. So mikom makom kasha. Well, he's not necessarily disagreeing with the Rabbi Yehuda, but he's saying that the reason that that Braisa does not say, or Rav is explaining why that second Braisa does not believe that Shinui Hashem is a Kinyan, is because there really wasn't any Shinui Hashem over here. So if there's no Shinui Hashem, right, then there's no Kinyan. Now, that's a question in Rabbi Yehuda, right? Mikom Kom Kasha. That's what Gemara says. Well, now you have a problem for Rabbi Yehuda. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, there was a Kinyan here. How did that Kinyan happen according to Rabbi Yehuda? What happened here? So Amar Rav Sheshet, Hamani Beit Shammai. No. Really, Shinui Hashem is a Kinyan. And Eino Hanami, right, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's why you pay, right, when he does when he shechs it, he's shechting his own animal, he doesn't pay Abra Hamisha. What about the Braisa that we brought down that says you do pay 4 and 5 times? That's authored by Beit Shammai. Why? What's unique about Rabbi Shammai? Damre Shinui Bimkomo Omedet Velo Kani. Because the Rabbi Shammai is of the opinion that even though something has changed, it still remains in the possession of the Balim. Shinui is not sufficient to create a kinyan. The Tanya, how do I know that? Because you have a Braisa. Natna la be'et nana. If you pay a zona for her services, chitin, you can pay her with wheat, vasan solit, and then she makes it into flour. Zeitim, you paid her with olives, vasan shemen, and now she made it into oil. Anavim, you paid her with grapes, vasan yayin, and she made it into wine. Tani chada asur, v'tani chada mutar. One of them says that it's asur to bring such an item to the base of Mikdash, to use it as in a korban. If another brisa says that it's mutar. V'amar Yosef, tani guryon de as pork, v'chami osrim, u'beitila matirim. The bright thought over here, the one who says that it's mutar is Beit Hillel. The one who says that it's asur is Beit Shammai. My time at the Beit Shammai. What's the reasoning of Beit Shammai? Dichtiv gam l'rabot shinuyim. The pasuk says when it comes to etnan zunas is the pasuk that tells us that payment for services of the zonah, those items that are paid for the services of the zonah, may not be brought on the mizbeach. They may not be used on the mizbeach. So the word gam that's used over there says that it includes not only the item itself, but any derivative of that item. Even if that item has changed its form or status, it's still the original payment of services, and therefore you can't bring on Mizbech. It says them, and not that which has changed. Right? That means that the item is restricted from going on Mizbech. But once she makes it into flour, or she makes it into wine, or she makes it into olive oil, right, all of those have changed the status or the name of the item. At this point, it's no longer the item that was used as the payment for services. She's actually changed the status. Is she no Hashem over here? All right, so Beit Shammai, Hauheim, Velo Vladatehem, Huda'ato. Right, wait, what do you mean? According to Beit Shammai, what do they do with the word Haim? They say Haim, Velo Vladatehem. The only thing that is Asur is the object itself. But if they have derivative, I mean, they have children, they have offspring, or they have some sort of derivative from it, that's not a surah to put on Mizbech. Ubeit Hillel, Tarte, Shmat Mina. That you can learn both of them from the word Haim. You have Haim, Velo Shinuhem, Vehaim, Velo, Veladu Tehem. All right, so that word, they can use the word Haim to teach you both. Them, and not items that are derivatives in different ways. You can be a derivative because you're a baby, you're an offspring, or you can be a derivative because you've changed the status or the name of the item. Ubeit Hillel, Haktiv Gam. According to Beit Hillel, don't you have, what do they do with the word Gam? The Gemara says, Gam, the Beit Hillel Kasha. According to Beit Hillel, Gam, they don't know. We don't know what they do with the word Gam, and we'll leave that as a Kasha. Now, the Gemara will get into this Machlokas tomorrow. But now, based on this, we can explain the position of Rabbi Eloi. Rabbi Eloi says that Shinui Hashem is sufficient to create a Kinyan. That Kinyan brings the item into the possession of the Ganav. Once it's in the possession of the Ganav, he doesn't have to pay Dalet and Chamisha anymore. He doesn't have to pay 4 or 5 times anymore because it's his. It belongs to him now. What about the Braisa that says that you do pay Dalet and Chamisha? So originally we said that's the core Braisa and Rabbi Eloi is out. Why don't we say Shinui Hashem? We say because that's not really called Shinui Hashem because an isle and a shore have the same name all the way through. Rabbi says, no. In the end, we say, no. Rabbi Eloi can stand, and that second braisa is really authored by Beit Shammai. Because there's machlokas between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai, which we just saw in Etnan Zonah, whether when you change the object, the status, when you change the name of the object, does that change its inherent isurim? Does it change from being Etnan Zonah to being not Etnan Zonah? Beit Hillel says yes, Beit Shammai says no. So you see, according to Beit Shammai, Shinui is not sufficient to change the item, not change the possession or change the status of the item. So it's over here. Shinui is not sufficient to change the item out of the possession of the Balim to the Ganav, and therefore when the Ganav shechs it or sells it, he's going to have to pay Dalet v'chamisha. Okay, we'll stop over here.